Y'all can be seated. All right, once again, good morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about the way out. And our passage this morning is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You know, when Randy asked me to preach a couple weeks ago, I was just like, yeah, sure. Wasn't really sure exactly what I was going to preach. And all this week, I've been wrestling with God about a couple different passages to preach. One that I wanted to preach, but once I wrote it, it just didn't feel right. But I kept coming back to this verse. And in this verse, we're going to see four things, but we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But right now, let's read this verse. And it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." This morning, the main thing I want you to get out of this, the main thing, if you don't get anything else, is this one simple thing. Jesus Christ is the way out. You know, we can look at this year, 2020, and already here at the end of March, it hasn't been the greatest year. There's been a lot of things that have happened. There's been some things that's just kind of thrown our world into chaos, kind of thrown our world for a loop and thrown us into a tailspin that's just crazy. I mean, with this COVID-19 pandemic, with it being spread all over the world and this hysteria and this chaos, it's crazy. But see, here's the thing. Even though things are bad now, even though it seems like there is mass panic and chaos, and there's this virus going around, there's still hope. There's still a brighter day coming. And we have that hope because of Jesus Christ. We have that hope. We have that assurance that there are brighter days coming because Jesus Christ is alive and well. It's like we just sang. He shines brighter than the brightest star. Even though in this world we will face troubles, it's okay. Because Christ has already overcome everything. You know, oftentimes, back in the days of the Bible, they thought that when something like this happened, that when perils came, when judgment came, that it was because they had disobeyed God. And most of the time, especially if you look in the book of Judges, it was because they turned their backs on God. And it wasn't until they realized what had happened, and they realized that they had gotten away from God, that they came back. You know, I was scrolling through Facebook last night, and I saw a couple different posts, and I didn't think about it. Well, think about it until I saw them. This morning, churches across the nation, not just here in Arkansas, but all over, are live streaming their services. That means that the internet is being flooded at this moment with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I get chills. To think that there are so many people out there that may have never heard the message of Jesus Christ before are getting to hear it for the first time this morning. But see, here's what I want to do with this passage this morning. With this verse, there's four things that we can pull out of it. We can pull out that there is common temptation that we face. We can see that God is faithful. We can see that even though we are being tempted, but it is not beyond what we can handle. And then lastly, we can see that we are able to bear the temptation. But see, before we go on any further, let me make this very clear. The only way that we are able to bear, the only way we are able to endure these hardships and these hard times is by staying close to God. And by staying rooted and staying connected to God. So let's dive into this. First thing that we see is that we face common temptation. And we see that in the first phrase of this verse, where it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." The same temptation we face today, people have been facing since the fall. Since all the way back to Adam and Eve. The same things that we face, the same things that we endure, everybody since has been facing. It's like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, and that is both good and bad. But see, what Paul is mainly dealing with here to the church at Corinth is their idolatry. It's how they would put things before God. But that same message, that same thing can be applied to us today. Because how many times do we take something, like say our cell phones? How many times do we take our cell phones or take something and put it before God? Make that our priority. I mean, if we leave the house and we forget our cell phones, what do usually? We turn around and go back and get it. But if we leave our Bibles at home, it's, oh well, there's one at the church I can use. Or I've got it on my phone. But see, here's the thing. We aren't to put anything before God. Nothing in our lives should come before God. Paul dealt with that with the church at Corinth and with almost every church that he ministered to. Every church that he wrote to, just about, he dealt with the issue of idolatry. Peter did too. Peter wrote about temptation. Peter wrote about how to overcome temptation as well and how to endure suffering and how to endure heartache. And he said this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." See, folks, we're not alone in our fight. We're not alone in our struggle. And that is probably the greatest thing that we have, is that we are not alone. Matter of fact, we have the victor on our side. We have the one who has already claimed the victory, who has already won the battle. And all we have to do is believe, and the victory is ours as well. Paul offered several comforts to the church at Corinth by which fainting spirits may have been revived. First, none of us have been tried more than others, which we see here in this. But it is only our lack of knowledge of the trials of others that lead us to imagine our trials are unique. You see, one of the things that the devil will try to do when you're going through something is he will try to say, oh, nobody's ever faced this before. Nobody's ever gone through this. There's nobody that understands what you're dealing with. See, that's where he's wrong. Everything that we face, there's somebody that has already faced it. Everything we go through, there's somebody that has already gone through it. But see, here's the thing. How do we deal with it when we're in the middle of it? How do we handle the pressures? How do we handle the suffering? How do we endure the hardships? Very simple. Through the grace, through the love of Jesus Christ, we are able to endure hardships. Heaven was known, and we just talked about that. Paul was trying to remind the church here that they're not alone in their struggles. And folks, we may be scattered about. We may be all over the place right now. But we're not alone. We still have our brothers and sisters in Christ right there fighting alongside us. We have those people around us. We have our church families that we can just cling to and know that we are in this together. There's many times when I'm going through something, all I got to do is pick up my phone and text somebody or call somebody. I got a friend right there. And it's awesome. The next thing that we see is that God is faithful. And we see this in the next verse. But God is faithful. This contraction. Actually, it's not a contraction, but this phrase, but God, by far the greatest phrase ever uttered. It takes a negative and turns it into a positive. I love this phrase. And I love finding passages in the Bible that has this phrase. Charles Spurgeon said this about God is faithful. He said, we are not faithful in the full sense of the term, but God is faithful to all His promises. What more do we need than the faithfulness of God to banish from our minds all dark forebodings? God being faithful, God's faithfulness has absolutely nothing to do with you or me. All it has to do with is that God loves us so much that the things that He promised us, the things that He said He would do, He does. And if He hasn't done them yet, they're coming. Because I believe every word of this book is true. And every promise that God gives in this book is true. And right now, one of the greatest promises that we can have is the same promise that God gave to Joshua when he took over command of the nation of Israel. In Joshua 1:5, he said, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. What did Jesus say to his disciples right before he ascended into heaven? Right at the end of the Great Commission, he said, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. All through Scripture, we see the promise that God is with us. We see that God is right there with us, fighting these battles right beside us. And actually, matter of fact, He's already fought these battles. He's already won these battles. And all we have to do is trust Him. Paul reminds these people, first, that their trial is not unique, but then the next thing is he throws this nugget out that God is faithful to them. That God is not going to leave them where they are. And folks, God's not going to leave us where we are. He's not going to leave us in a situation of peril. He's not going to leave us in darkness. He is going to come and bring the light to us. He is the light. He's going to come and show us the way out. He's going to come and provide the path of our escape. Folks, He already has. Provided our way of escape when He died on the cross. When He paid for your sins and for my sins. He paid that price. He gave His life. He shed His blood for you and for me. All the while, He could have easily said no. At any moment, throughout His life, Jesus could have said, I'm not worth it. Father, I'm coming home. But He chose to take our place. And He provided us with the hope that we can have today. Because if He wouldn't have died on the cross, then how could we say that God is faithful? If Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross, how could we say that He loves us? If Jesus wouldn't have endured the hardship and the peril and the shame that came with dying on the cross, nothing in Scripture would be true. Because everything from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation points to Jesus as Messiah and as our sacrifice. But see, here's the thing. Even though we are going through this trial, which we'll get to this here in just a moment, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It may seem dark now. It may seem like that there's no way out. But if you'll take a minute and just stop and look, you'll see the light. You'll see the end. You'll see the way of escape. And it is only through the faithfulness of God. The next thing that we see is that we are being tempted beyond what we can handle. And the next phrase says this, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now, there's a lot of people that would agree with me that this phrase right here is the phrase in the Bible that is probably used the most out of context. People all the time want to say, oh, God's not going to give me more than I can bear. But see, here's the thing. On our own, we can't handle the weight. On our own, we can't handle the burden. On our own, we can't defeat temptation. This phrase is saying that only through God are we able to bear this temptation. The first thing they teach us in seminary is context, context, context. They teach you that from the first year homiletics class all the way through the doctorate program. Always look at the context. Always know what's going on around the passage that you're getting ready to preach. And the context of this phrase is not that God's going to tempt us, well, not God's going to allow us to be tempted more than what we can handle. Case in point, look at Job. God was in full control of that. He would not allow Satan to tempt him past a certain point. But it is through this temptation. It is through this trial that we endure that our faith grows. Because when we are in these situations, when we are in these trials, the best thing that we can do is fall on our knees and just give it to God. When the Apostle Paul had the thorn placed in his flesh, as he talks about later on in a couple chapters over, the thing that he did immediately was he begged and pleaded with the Lord to take it from him. Charles Spurgeon said that anything that leads us to prayer is a blessing. This virus could actually be seen as a blessing. Because it is potentially driving more and more people to pray and to give back to God. On our own, we are nothing. On our own, we fail. We crumble and we fall underneath the weight of this temptation. But by God's strength, by God's grace, by His mercy, we can be triumphant. And then lastly, and this is where we're going to camp out for a little bit. How are we able to bear the temptation? We see that in the last phrase of this verse, where it says, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is Jesus, as we talked about at the beginning. The way of escape, there's only one way. There's only one path to deliverance. There's only one path to salvation. There's only one path to true freedom. And that path is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus told this to his disciples shortly before he was betrayed and crucified. He said this in John 14:6. He said, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to freedom. He blazed the trail for us. He set the course. He paid our price. And through this, we can be set free. Because Jesus is the lighthouse that shines for us to see. I love thinking about a lighthouse sometimes. Think about what it does. It sets out on the shore. And it is a beacon of light to all ships coming in. To let them know, hey, this is the way to shore. This is the way you need to go. Especially in those foggy nights, in those dark nights, when they can't see the light, when they can't see what's around them, they can hear the horn of the lighthouse. And they can see the light shining in the darkness. And they know what direction they need to go. Jesus actually said this in John chapter 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Where Jesus is, there is no darkness. Where the light shines, there cannot be darkness. Where the light is, there is freedom. The psalmist wrote that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so I might not sin against God. Jesus is that light. He blazed the trail. He endured the shame. He went through every bit of pain and agony for you and for me. David wrote this in Psalm 23. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's a song that Roger Bennett wrote for the cathedrals. And it's called Don't Be Afraid. And I was watching a video of him telling the story of this song. And in it, he talks about Psalm 23. And he says, it doesn't say that God's going to walk with us up to the edge of the valley. That He's going to pick us up and put us on the other side of the valley. That He's going to walk with us around the valley. No. It says that He's going to be with us as we walk straight through smack dab in the middle of the valley of shadow of death. Folks, the greatest assurance is knowing that because of the price that Jesus paid, because of the hope that He brought, we have a way out. And like I mentioned just a moment ago, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that there is hope at the end, because we serve the God of restoration. We serve the God of deliverance. Because folks, I believe wholeheartedly that when God says enough is enough, this hardship will pass. When God says it is time for my people to stop suffering, His people will stop suffering. Peter wrote this also in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you according to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, when we've suffered a little bit, however long that is, whether that's a day, a month, 2 months, a year, 10 years, 500 years, whatever. Whatever that little while is, when we have suffered that, God Himself is going to restore us. He's going to confirm us. He's going to strengthen us, and He's going to establish us.
because he's the only one that can do the job. He doesn't send an angel to do it. He doesn't send somebody in our lives to do it. He himself does it. Folks, if that doesn't give you hope, knowing that when this is over, God himself is the one that is going to fix us, I don't know what can. You know, yes, we're facing uncertain times. We're facing unprecedented times right now in our nation and in our churches. But we still don't have a reason to fear. Because as long as God is on the throne, and as long as God is in control, we have absolutely no reason to be afraid. Because God's right there with us every step of the way. And he is in full control. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows how long this coronavirus is going to last. And he knows that it's going to be okay. And he tells us it's going to be okay. Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross. He said, I have told you all these things that in me you will have peace. Because in this world you shall have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. You see, it doesn't matter what we face in this world. It doesn't matter what we endure in this world. Because Jesus has already overcome it. And because Jesus has overcome it, we can have hope. Knowing that there is a way out. And all we got to do is find that way out. We don't have to look any further than Jesus. Because like we talked about at the beginning of this message, Jesus is the way out. Maybe you're here or you're watching live on Facebook right now, and you've never experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you have, but you've drifted away and you've lost your way. Same thing is true for both. Jesus is standing there saying, come home. Jesus is saying, come. I'm going to ask you all to stand. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your lives. I don't know where you come from. But I ask you, if God has touched you in any way in this message, if there is something that you need to do, whether you need to turn your life back to God or you need to give your life to God to begin with, now is your opportunity as we sing.
Number 562. 562.